This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a Mac's List reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Aaron Keir. He's the Director of Employee Experience and Inclusion at Acton Software. Aaron's company helps you grow your business, create smart product engagement strategies, and support exceptional brand experiences. Aaron Keir believes in the power of asking others for help. In a story you can find on the Mac's List website, Aaron says that asking friends and colleagues to give feedback on his resume and interview skills made a big difference in his success. Aaron, why do you love your job?
That's a great question. I think I do the work that I do because I actually do care about people. And so actually getting to be a big source of influence and impact on what people are doing in their everyday work is incredibly rewarding. It's tough, but it's rewarding. We spend a lot of time in our jobs, and actually making that the best experience it can be is important work. I think it's something that has been sort of downplayed for a very long time, and I think it's come more and more into the spotlight, for which I'm very grateful, I guess, getting to do what I do. It's great.
And tell us more about Acton Software. What work do you do there for the company, and what does the company do?
Yeah, so we do marketing automation response software, and I am currently a team of one. It's a new role and a new initiative, actually tackling, as I said earlier, employee experience. So it's a little bit touching and being hands-on with every sort of facet of what people experience from the moment they're hired through the moment they exit the company. Just working very closely with HR, but also with kind of being the leader of culture, really helping to codify some programs, put things in place that hadn't been touched before. It's just sort of every facet along that employee life cycle, if you think of it that way. So helping with learning and development, and really making that more intentional. We've rebuilt our values, which are becoming very much the foundations of cultivating the sort of culture and environment that we're striving to put together. And it's just everything that kind of builds upon that. So all of those programs and processes.
Well, let's talk about your job search, Aaron. How long did it take you to find your job at Acton Software?
That's a great question, Mac. I think I've got three different answers for that. The first is probably 5 years, and then the other is something like 4 months, and then the best, most bright and shining answer is 2 weeks. So I was doing consulting work for about 5 years and keeping a finger on the pulse and always keeping my eyes open and continuing to apply for jobs during that time, thinking eventually I want to be able to put down roots somewhere. That sort of ebbed and flowed along the way. It wasn't always a focus because I was quite busy in the consulting work I was doing. I had ended a contract, and so that was about 4 months of definitely doubling my efforts and really applying a lot and doing a lot of searching and a lot of talking to folks. And then from the time that I actually applied for this role at Acton until I accepted an offer was just under 2 weeks. So it was a very quick process.
Well, let's talk more about that. To build a successful consulting practice takes time and effort, but focus. And you did it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Was that your goal, Aaron, to build your own company or your own practice? Or were you doing that while you looked for a permanent position?
Great question. Initially, it was circumstance. The job market was not what it is now when I first started doing that. I thought I was going to look for a permanent job and ended up doing a couple of short-term assignments and realizing pretty quickly that there was really an incredible opportunity in that. I have said to people, I feel like that 4 or 5 year period felt like 12 years worth of professional development. It was incredibly intensive to be stepping into assignment after assignment, working with completely different companies, completely different leadership teams, really having to confront a variety of different needs and issues and like coming up with whole different solutions. It was really bolstering skills in relationship building when you're stepping into, you know, companies at various, working with various levels of leadership, lots of different personalities, as you might imagine, and figuring out, you know, how best to communicate, how best to influence, how to really sell like the right solutions for that particular company in that time, dealing with whatever it is that they're dealing with. So it was, I think, just in terms of analytical skills, problem-solving skills, communication, and I would say too, the other piece of it was it really catalyzed, I think, my own values and my vision for what the world of work really can and should be, which I think is kind of where my career has been headed all that time. So it was a little bit circumstance, but I pretty quickly realized, no, this is a really good thing to be doing at this point in time, and tried to be a little bit more intentional about the types of assignments that I was taking on, just to get my hands on as wide a variety of work as I could.
And you did it for 5 years. And along the way, in your article for us, you said that you kept applying for jobs and you kept getting rejected. Why did you keep applying for work when you had this successful consulting practice, Aaron?
When you're doing people work, there's something about when you're doing people work as a consultant, especially, while it can be challenging and exciting to step in and propose solutions, help, be part of helping to build something and then sort of see it launch, you walk away then. You don't actually get to see the product of that work. You don't get to see the outcome. You don't get to see how it's actually playing out in the day-to-day lives of those particular employees. You also have an opportunity to come back in and iterate and improve upon the work you've done. You just leave it behind. And I wanted to feel like I was actually part of something, that it was something that was enduring, that I could build those relationships and be helping people that I could see day to day, and challenge myself to continue to improve work I've already done. It's different. It's just a completely different thing to feel like you're part of something rather than the outsider.
So you had your practice for 5 years, and then you decided to launch a new job search, and you said that you did that for 4 months. And at the end of that period, in 2 weeks, you got an offer from Acton Software. What did you do during those 4 months, Aaron, that was different, that you, that perhaps led to that offer from Acton Software, that you didn't do during the previous 5 years when you would occasionally send out job applications?
I think I was, in all honesty, Mac, I think I was doing the work the whole time. I think I mentioned in the article that it really feels a bit like a game of chance in a lot of ways. I had continued to iterate and edit and update my resume. I think that was probably the biggest change. I really got very serious and worked with a really close associate of mine who is really expert and incredibly insightful about the inner workings of HR and talent acquisition, and created a few different templates for various focuses with my work. Because as I said, when you're touching every single part of the whole talent lifecycle, I felt like there were a number of directions I could go. And so had sort of base level resumes for three different focuses. And then when I was applying, would go through all the steps of trying to customize and use keywords and really prioritize and organize things to best suit that search. I've been doing that all along. I think the way that I explained it in the article is, having been doing the work I was doing, part of what I felt like I saw was some real flaws and in the the hiring process, feeling like HR and talent was a little bit broken. I didn't realize exactly what that looked like from the other side. I had an idea, but I didn't really see it intimately. And I, at the point that I got the call from Acton, I think that I had applied for 13 jobs that I would have considered incredibly similar. This was the only recruiter that called me, and she called me within a half hour of me posting the, actually submitting my resume. She called me within a half an hour. And, yeah, it was only 2 weeks of a number of interviews, and I was offered the job, not only offered the job, but offered a higher level role than what they had posted, and going to like the stretch point of the salary. So it was kind of the right place at the right time, and having someone who really saw something that other people didn't. So I think we have an exceptional recruiter. We really do. And, I'm grateful to her that she saw through things that other people apparently didn't.
There's so much in life that we don't control. And I think many listeners will agree with you that the hiring system, can be improved. And certainly, there's lots of room for improvement there. But what in your job search that you could control, do you think made a difference in those 4 months when you were looking for work that ultimately led to this offer from Acton Software? You mentioned working with a friend who was a great writer who gave you terrific advice. In our article, your article for us, you also talked about practicing your interview skills. That's something, another thing you could control. What did you do differently as you worked on your interview skills? What steps do you take to improve them?
I'd been networking a lot, and so I think sitting down and meeting a lot of different people, kind of being able to tell my story, hear their story, respond was just good practical exercise. And so that same friend who helped with my resume also kind of walked me through some of, you know, we look at like the typical questions, like how do you actually give your elevator pitch? How do you talk about your strengths? How do you talk about your successes and the things you've accomplished, and really trying to codify exactly what that looks like, to really like be able to say what the impact of that work is, which can feel really strange and kind of nebulous in the work that we do, because, you know, when you talk about employee experience, it's some of that's anecdotal evidence at best. You know, it's a lot of feelings and experience, so it's a little hard to really give a concrete example of that. And she helped a lot in figuring out how to really put that into numbers for, you know, some of those real practical, financially motivated leaders to kind of understand what it was I could accomplish. But kind of walking me through some of those answers and giving me a chance to talk and have somebody objectively say, you were good here, you could be better over there. Like, that wasn't as clear as you might think it is. Like, you know, it was helpful. And I think beyond that, yeah, I really want to say too, you know, talking about the work that I did on my resume, as much as we may think that resumes are a little outdated, outmoded, and we wish we could put them to rest, that's not the reality that we live in. And so I think being very mindful that it's hard to put yourself on paper, but making that as the strongest it can absolutely be is really your best tool in a lot of ways. And understanding kind of what, as I was saying, that impact and, you know, the sort of what it is you're bringing to that company and what you can do for them is a really important thing to be able to communicate in writing.
In your article for us, you said that, quote, you networked like it was your religion, close quote, but you found your position at Acton Software through a public posting, not through the hidden job market.
Right.
Now, Aaron, would you still recommend informational interviews and other forms of networking to job seekers, and was that helpful to you eventually when you did start talking to people at Acton Software?
You know, I don't think that I've had a network connection that has put me in touch with a job. But what they have done for me was, you know, as I said, a lot of that really catalyzed my values and my vision. And a big part of that was in connecting with other people that were in similar industries or adjacent industries to what I was doing. A lot of those people have remained really good professional colleagues, like connections, people that I still talk to, people that I feel like have helped me grow in terms of my thinking and my sort of like helping with my professional development in a lot of ways. So I think I would not say that it was a waste of time by any stretch. I wouldn't say that it was, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that it was what helped me find a job, but it didn't hurt. I know that I've got a lot of people out there who were advocating for me. That's the other piece that I would say too, is that job hunting is tough. It's really, it can be very demoralizing. So having people who believe in you, people who see your value and can reinforce that to you is incredibly valuable.
What didn't work in your job search, Aaron?
Tenacity, I guess, in many ways. You know, having an incredible support network really, really was more important than I can say. I think not getting discouraged, even when things were discouraging. I think at some point also, and I think I mentioned this in my article, recognizing that I had done everything I could do in terms of making my resume the absolute best it could be, knowing that when I sit down and have a conversation in an interview that I'm going to do well in that moment, and that's everything I can do. And from there, it's really about the person who's reading that application and reading my resume and whether something's going to speak to them or not. Not taking it personally, which is harder than it probably sounds. But that was, I think that was what got me through, was going, it's going to happen when it happens. And, you know, if an opportunity passes you by, it's probably not the opportunity you were looking for.
Finally, what's your number one job hunting tip?
I think it's, you know, what I was saying about really making sure that your resume just shines as bright as it can and represents you the best that it can. And don't give up.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Aaron. To learn more about Aaron Kier's job search, visit maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton Huff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.